Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the King's speech yesterday. So His Gracious Majesty, Charles, or that name, the Third, he went to Parliament and he addressed the Joint House of Parliament. This happens once a year. It's not always in May. It can be right after an election. And that's different from the state opening of Parliament, which is in November. That's why it's remember the 5th of November. And that also involves a speech by the sovereign. Now, in every case, it's the government, the politicians, the ruling party, they write the speech. And it's customary for the monarch to deliver it in a neutral tone and not expressing favour or disfavour to about anything in the content of the speech, even by facial expression. All right, it should be heard in respectful silence, something that Labour broke this convention after 1997, cheering certain propositions that they found deeply alluring. So His Britannic Majesty, Charles III, gave this speech saying that they would try to emphasise national security in a more dangerous world. Well, that's true. If so, then Labour actually ought to spend more on defence. They're spending very little, and obviously they're linking it to gross domestic product. But wait a second, if GDP goes down, that doesn't mean the threats reduce. What you need to say is we're going to spend what we need to spend, regardless of whether the economy expands or shrinks. That's it. They don't do the NHS. We'll only spend it if the economy is growing. No, we spend it. And if the economy shrinks, we're going to have to cut spending in other areas, or we're going to have to tax more, or we're going to have to borrow more, or a combination of two or three of those things. Anyway, saying that his government would seek to stimulate economic growth. Wow, that's original, and to address the cost of living. But there's a lack of concrete measures here, which has not satisfied the Labour left, or particularly those elected in 2024, mostly young MPs. There's one old guy, a retired surgeon who had a full career, and I have some respect for him, who actually achieved something before he came into politics. And it's good to have some people in their 20s in Parliament, because it should reflect the diversity of the nation, partly generationally, but for the most part, people ought to have done something, worked in the sector of the economy for, you know, at least 10 years, so they can bring some expertise into Parliament rather than never have worked anything else. And Labour's really bad at this. People have been think tankers, an aide for an MP or whatever, a special advisor, and it's terrible. Then you have a complete spiv like David Cameron, who was in Parliament. All right. So what else? They said they're going to reform public services. I mean, reform is always meant to be a good thing, but, you know, we've heard this before. And yeah, there's a problem that public services are sclerotic. They're way too expensive. The number of civil servants increased enormously. That was a huge failure by the previous Conservative government, which wanted to slim down the civil service and managed to expand it, which is completely against the Conservative philosophy. We're meant to be of minarchism. Right, meant to be efficiency, and it's not lean at all. So it's a great job for the idle. Now, not all functionaries are terrible, and not all of them are idlers, but you're virtually unsackable. A civil service employment solicitor told me this, you know, unless you come and do a poo on the boss's desk, you can get away with that. And if she called in, it said she was seriously ill for a year, she would have up to, you know, a full salary for a year before anyone asked, well, can you come back at some point, or are you going to leave? Anyway, they're working from home a lot. They're taking up to 50 days off a year. Okay, so it said stronger liens with the European Union. Okay, that'll cheer the cockles of the hearts of the Liberal Democrats and some Labour people. And I was thinking, wargaming it from Starmer's perspective, or any Labour leadership challenger, to be audacious and say, I will hold a referendum on rejoining the European Union. And that would really actuate the Europhile wing. And, you know, that is 50% of the population, maybe a little bit more. And of Labour voters, it's probably more than that. And actuate them to come out. The only thing is, I think that might be rocket fuel to reform United Kingdom. I think reform UK has peaked, is dipping a bit, will continue to go down. A general election 2028 or 2029, they get about 25% of the vote, which is impressive, probably the biggest party, but it's not the 35% they were on last year. Okay, it's not enough to win outright. And that would win some people over. That would make people sit up and pay attention. Obviously, if you win that referendum and join the European Union, it's a long way from rejoining, and you don't know what the terms are, which is why I had the referendum first, because you negotiate the terms, offer the terms, which might be so unattractive, put off even some Europhiles. Okay, but back to the King's speech. So Anyway, said trying to beef up energy and infrastructure security. It's obviously really needed because of the Russian threat and so forth. Improve law and order. Okay, these are the sort of things that most governments try to do. To continue financial support, diplomatic support for Ukraine. Well, I applaud them on that one. You know, can the devil speak true? Yes, this monstrous, wicked, cruel Labour government. Even they get it right occasionally. You know, even an evil person does something good once in a while. Okay, so they said a tough response to cyber attacks, but how? They're not hitting back. Continue to be a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Well, only the loony left is against that. Try to bring Middle East peace and stability. Well, that's to be applauded. You could at least just stop selling weapons to a state that commits genocide, namely Israel, and so forth. I'm very glad that you know, the United Kingdom has largely stayed out of this Iran war. I would have completely stayed out. And one of the reasons not Cameron, sorry, Starmer stayed out is he wouldn't be prime minister anymore. It would have been a revolt. He would have been voted out way back in March had he brought the UK fully in. He says he wants to raise living standards. He's also to bring down inflation. And inflation's not too bad. And Rachel Reeves, to give the devil her due, has been semi-successful on this one. Okay, so to speed up economic growth, right? Nobody would do well. Therefore, you could make people work and stop paying them so much beyond benefits. So many people are getting more than the national average income by being on benefits. It just becomes a career for people. The fecklessness of the parasitical class, about 10% of the population, preposterously broadening the definition of disability. Anyone who says they've got anxiety, depression, and anxiety can be signed off sick. I mean, these things are not new. We've had these for centuries. Only in the last decade or so have people been able to get away with not working on that basis. They said they're going to introduce new laws to deal with the problem of late payments to small businesses because this cash flow problem can make these small and medium enterprises go under. They said they want to cut unnecessary regulation. Well, hallelujah. Okay, there is much joy in heaven over every sinner who repenteth, but over-regulation is what Labour's all about. And disgustingly, so was the Conservative Unionist Party. The Tory Party was meant to be deregulating and over-regulated. You can't say that in one breath and the next breath said, and by the way, we're going to criminalize people for smoking tobacco or vapes. That is over-regulation. And that is taking away people's liberty. Trust the people. Go back to Lord Randolph Churchill's slogan. All right, the European Partnership Bill is meant to improve collaboration with the European Union, is meant to increase commerce. And it might do so, but is that worth it if it undermines sovereignty? I say not. I know this is stealthily moving towards rejoining the European Union. So there's the National Health Service Modernization Bill, only applicable to South Britain. Another point is the UK tells itself the NHS is the envy of the world, but you look at the data of the percentage of GDP which is spent on healthcare, and in some countries it's much lower than the United Kingdom. Irish Republic, we spend a lower percentage of better outcomes, higher life expectancy, higher survival rates of cancer, and so forth. And there are many countries, so the UK needs to look objectively and stop lying to itself and see that comparable other Occidental countries, or particularly in the European Union, some of them have much better results. One thing I might do is actually, if it wasn't going to cause the USA to impose sanctions or something, to employ some Cuban medical missionaries. They're not really missionaries, it just earns money for the regime, but that'd be a lot more doctors. Okay, and so we go on. Police reform bill, more centralized policing powers. And the thing is about economies of scale. I was speaking to an economist about this, saying, well, some things aren't scalable and some things it's better if the decisions are made on more local level, subsidiarity. Because I hear this argument both ways. It's more efficient to have one enormous organization. You stop replicating of services pointlessly. No. It's more efficient to have several smaller ones. And I'm not sure what to believe. Okay, the courts modernization bill, which is reducing jury trials. I mean, this is one of the things I'm actually not going ape about because they've always been limited. We have diplock courts in Northern Ireland. You know, Southern Ireland, we had, you know, jurist courts all the time, the special criminal court. Okay, to speed up justice, justice delayed is justice denied. I don't remember who said it. Education for all bill, special needs reform. Yeah, which means more of it, which means crushing the taxpayer. The badly behaved people get more. Okay. Is grossly unfair. Digital access to services, digital ID for government services, don't really object to that. Expansion of the railways, well, applaud that one. Great British Railways plan. So bringing back into public hands. You see, I'm not having a principled objection to that. Though I was in favour of privatisation in the 90s, it's been a mixed blessing. It's made it more efficient. It's brought in more services, all the rest of it. You know, fewer late delayed trains. There's still problems with it. It's eye-wateringly expensive. Can we not have a decent service at a decent price? Previously had a bad service at a good price. Maybe that was better than what we got now. We shall see. And plus, the population's increased 40% since the Beeching Report in the early 60s, which closed so many railways, and that's what's right to bring it back. Okay, road and rail airport infrastructure projects, that's good. A second runway at Gatwick, I'm all in favour of that. The third runway at Heathrow, I'm not. Okay, I would be in favour of other runways like at Stansted or Luton or whatever. Energy independence bill, well, that's got to be a good thing. More nuclear and renewable energy. Labour used to be against nuclear energy, but yeah, more renewable energy is definitely a good thing. I would use a North Sea oil. The UK is still importing oil, and it would be more efficient, better for the environment to use the North Sea oil. Okay, leasehold reform towards a common hold system, that could be a good thing. More social housing investment, no. Provide for your own housing, you're just going to have to share rooms. A faster cladding remediation for unsafe buildings, well, mixed feelings about that. A duty of candor for public officials, so-called Hillsborough law, to do that disaster, the Hillsborough Stadium in Sheffield, was way back in 1988. Ability to remove peerages from disgraced figures. I tend to disagree. It's partly about Lord Mandelson. The good thing is to have it for life. You know, even this good or evil, he still has, you know, something worthwhile saying. Measures against extreme violence and online harm. Well, I mean, online extreme violence. You see, this is censorship. I don't mind having an age limit like 18, but I have my doubts. I suppose it could be seen as incitement to violence. So I might cautiously agree. Make the civil service more accountable. Okay, well, stop dumping on them and sacking them, Sir Keir. You know, poor old Ollie Robbins, he did the right thing. So that's it. It's not satisfying the Labour left. Incidentally, majority of the 2024 class of Labour MPs are against Starmer now. His goose is cooked. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then to PayPal, georgekind7 on gmail.com. Goodbye.